Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Sky Blaze.
Okay, we're playing that game again, computer. Right, fine. Right, I hope people can actually hear me, because my setup's being a bit weird again. But, hello, good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Skyblaze, and I am back with the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. On a slightly unusual day of Sunday, since Rexy needed today off, so I offered to swap. So yeah, I'm going to be talking about light gun games today, after my break. So here's hoping that everyone can actually hear me okay. Right, cool. Well, I've got a thumbs up from Electric Boogaloo, so... metadata's not showing. I'm not going to worry about that right now, because if I have to fix that, I'll have to stop and restart, and I can't be bothered. Metadata thinks it's transmitting, so I'm not sure what's going on there. That's strange. Is it fixed now? That's weird. I don't know. It fixed itself. Hooray! Right. So, for today, for those of you who like shooty things, you'll likely have played one of the many, many light gun games that are available in most arcades. When these sort of games were ported to consoles, you'd need to either use a regular controller, which tended to be a little bit on the awkward side, or you'd have a light gun. Each Sega console had at least one light gun peripheral, which was developed by Sega specifically, I can say words, for this purpose. The Master System had the Light Phaser, the Mega Drive had the Menacer, the Saturn had the Stunner, and the Dreamcast had the Dreamcast Gun. However, due to events in the USA, which involved the unfortunate incidents of the Columbine High School massacre, Sega withdrew sales of the Dreamcast gun from the United States because of fear of bad press. This meant that the Dreamcast didn't actually have native light gun in the US, which led them to offering rights to Mad Catz, who developed the Dream Blaster. While all areas now had a light gun for the Dreamcast, that meant everything was fine, right? Well, no, because there was still one issue. The majority of the NTSCU games in the US would consider the Dreamcast gun incompatible with it, so you'd need to either use the Dream Blaster instead. There were some exceptions though, which included Virtua Cop 2 and Demolition Racer No Exit, where you could use the light gun in one of the minigames. That's for the latter, by the way. So, let's have some music. I've had to pull, because there's not a lot of light gun game stuff on the main Radio Sega playlist, I've had to pull most of my music from other sources. So I apologise for the slightly spotty metadata on some of these. But I'm doing my best. So requested by Electric Boogaloo, first of all, we've got Virtua Cop 2 Trap. After that, we've got Demolition Racer No Exit, Catch Me. So I hope you enjoy those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the musical break. We'll be right back. And we are back. And that was Demolition Racer No Exits, Catch Me. And before that, it was Virtual Cop 2's Trap. I got confused because Electric Boogaloo actually asked for Trap 2, not Trap, so I suck. Apologies. Hopefully I've got your other request right, so... Well, sorry, Electric Boogaloo, I'll hopefully get it right later. Hello to Dolan and Superbike and Electric Boogaloo and other people who are kicking around. Not sure whose else is in the chat, but hello to everyone. I think Serga's around. Hello everyone. Now we're going to start taking a look at some of the games that were compatible with light guns. So we'll start with Death Crimson OX, which was released for the Dreamcast in 1999. This is actually the third game in the Death Crimson series, and it plays quite a lot like House of the Dead. Although instead of zombies, you're dealing with monsters called Subliminas, and instead of firing at them with bullets, you fire at enemies with crimson... something... energy? I don't really know. In the game you play as two resistance fighters, called Yuri and Cow, as they try to rescue Yuri's mother Lily, who appears to have been kidnapped by these monsters. While it does play very similarly to House of the Dead, there are a few differences. For one, you don't have a set number of hits before you die. Instead, you have a health bar, so certain attacks will deal more or less damage than others. You also gain experience as you kill things. Filling your experience bar then provides you with some healing. Getting hit, though, causes you to lose that experience and you have to start all over again, which is kind of harsh. The next thing is the voice acting. There isn't any, which is kind of a blessing in disguise. So instead of terrible voice acting, there are awful, badly translated subtitles and terrible animations. The only vocal sounds you hear are from people running away from the subliminas, and sound effects are pretty awful. Skeletons sound like they're breaking glass when you shoot them, and the plane you fly at one point sounds not really very much like a plane. It's just white noise. Brit Gamer's here. Hello, Brit Gamer. I'm pretty sure Electric Boogaloo thinks it's pronounced ox, as in the animal. That's entirely possible. So, which is odd that it's actually... both of the O and AX are both capitalized then, because you'd think it, with the capitalization, you'd think it would be OX. That's weird. That's a strange design decision. Anyway, it's not terribly well regarded. Good for a laugh, I guess, if you like laughing at terrible games, but I think I've covered it briefly before in an episode I did on awful games. Okay. Apparently in Japan it is called Desu Kurimzon Okasu. One of the sound composers on Death Crimson Ox or OX is Masafumi Ogata, who worked on Sonic CD. That's pretty cool. Well, we're going to have some music from it now, so we'll see how that goes. This is one of the tracks that I've had to acquire from another place, so the metadata is all over the place. But after that, we've got a track from Lethal Enforcers, which actually does have proper metadata. So enjoy that, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break. Once my mouse works. We'll be right back. do not know what is up with my mouse, because the pointer keeps jumping off into random directions, and the scroll wheel keeps, like, jumping up rather than scrolling down. It's really weird. Bad mouse. No cheese. That was Lethal Enforcers As Long As You Live from Stage 4. And before that, it was Death Crimson OX or OX, I'm not sure which. BGM WA01. Sorry, it's not labelled properly. Yeah, I was going to use the Sega CD version of Lethal Enforcers because the soundtrack is a bit better. But the only version I could find didn't have proper metadata. So I couldn't be bothered to relabel everything. So I used the Mega Drive version instead. But it's okay, because it still sounds pretty good. Electrical is saying, I could have helped with that earlier, I know all the track names and such. Of course you do, Electric Boogaloo, because you know all of the things. Electric Boogaloo could probably do my job better than I can. It's quite depressing. But it's alright. We love Electric Boogaloo, really. Superbike 2 saying my mouse has been eating well for an hour. Lol. Yeah, my husband uses this PC a little bit more than I do, so I blame him for the problem. Quiet phone. Right. Phone is making a noise. It should not be making a noise. Right. Where were we? I'm going to loop my talk bed. Moving backwards in time now, we've got Scud, the Disposable Assassin. It came out on the Sega Saturn in 1997, and this is a platformer light gun hybrid, where you play as a robot assassin called Scud, as you indicate in the name. He is one of a series of robots who are called Scud, who are, by the name of the game, Disposable Assassins. He's actually purchased from a vending machine, given details of a target he has to kill, and once he had done his job, he's supposed to self-destruct. However, the Scud of the game doesn't want to explode, so he's doing all he can to keep his target alive so he can live. That's a fascinating concept for a game, isn't it? As you might expect from such a peculiar concept, the gameplay is a little bit weird, as you'll have some main parts of the level with you side-scrolling with Scud, shooting down enemies, and then you have area transitions. Certain levels and boss fights are in the first-person light gun view. As far as I can tell, you'll need both a controller and a light gun if you want to play this game. Although you can just use the controller for the light gun sections if you have to, but I can't imagine that's very comfortable to play. What was going on in the chat? Electric Boogaloo saying, I don't know everything, I know a lot. Yeah, well, Superbike and I are both in agreement. Electric Boogaloo knows everything. Electric Boogaloo saying, don't worry, Skyblaze, I don't have the courage to do a live radio show myself anyway. Too shy! Aww! So cute. And Twinny's saying, Electric, don't be a Jamie. That's kind of cruel. Superbike saying, yeah, blame Grey for it. It's all his fault. Yes, he's broken my mouse, it is all his fault. Electric Boogaloo is claiming that they are not anything like Jamie because they don't do ice cap corrections. Lol. Brick gamers do ice cap. Oh, never change, Discord chat. We love you so much. Twinny's doing the usual excellent job putting up the pictures of the various Discord guns. They both look pretty cool, actually, although the official one, the Japanese one, kind of looks like a glue gun, which takes away some of the badass impact of it. Oh well. Oh well. Right, so let's have some more music, shall we? Before I get distracted again. So, from Scud the Disposable Assassin, we have Stage 1 BGM, and then another request from Electric Boogaloo. This is Confidential Mission 3, which weirdly enough is labelled as BGM2, so I'm not really sure what happened there, but alright. So, Confidential Mission, Mission 3, and Scope Disposable Assassin, Stage 1. Enjoy those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break.
Thank you.
And we are back. And that was Confidential Mission, Mission 3, requested by Electric Boogaloo. I got the right track this time, yay! And before that we had Scud the Disposable Assassin, Stage 1. Apparently, Electric Boogaloo tells me that the title character in Scud the Disposable Assassin was part created by Dan Harmon, who created Rick and Morty and Community. So that's pretty interesting. This is what we mean when we say that Electric Boogaloo knows all of the things. I think they must fall down a lot of wiki rabbit holes quite a lot and then be like, I'm just going to look at this particular fact, and then realise it's 3 a.m. and they've spent 5 hours researching Sega games. I have never done this. Certainly not. Anyway. Turns out we had somebody comment on the Sega Twitter, Sega Radio Sega Twitter. A person called Melton the Gamer says that they've got the official Dreamcast light gun, but it's the EU version, the European version. Not that they've got any light gun games to play with it. Oh, that's very sad. You should get hold of some. Depending on which version of the Dreamcast you've got, it's actually pretty easy to make it play burned games. You didn't hear that from me. Right. But yeah, if you've got any pictures of your light gun setup, then let me know. Obviously, these days you need a CRT TV to play light gun games. Although, Superbike was telling me about a new device that's, I think it's on Kickstarter, which lets you play a light gun with a modern LCD TV or monitor. Which is pretty exciting. Note to self, loop talk bed. Right. Oops. Bloody hell. Okay. So, sticking with Saturn for one more game, we've got Crypt Killer, which was developed by Konami in 1995 and released on the Saturn in 1997. In it, you play the role of adventurers who are delving deep into various caverns and crypts in search of something called the Eyes of Guidance, which will allow you to open the doors of fate and get to the treasures inside. It's a fairly short game. You have all of 6 worlds or levels to choose from, and at the end of each one, you'll find yourself greeted by a floating head of a bald man called Galazon, the spirit of travel. This doesn't sound much like a Lycon game, does it? It sounds more like a weird fantasy game. And you'll see this guy at the start and end of each act. When you get to the end of an act, Galazon will show up and make you choose between 2 chained up doors, which you'll have to shoot the chains off. And once you've done, you progress to Act 2. Following on from this, you'll be shown another 2 chained doors, and then it's on to Act 3. Once you've cleared Act 3, you'll face a boss who holds the first of the Eyes of Guidance. You then go through another world and to another 3 acts until you gain the second eye. Once you have both eyes, you place them into the doors of fate and claim your reward. Your reward, however, can change depending on the colour and order of the eyes you collect. As the individual eyes can be either red or blue, you'll have 4 different endings to choose from. The good ending, where you capture a skeleton and eventually obtain some treasure, and the bad ending, where you find yourself travelling down to a river where floating treasure chests appear, only to find them to be fake. Then you end your journey at a dead end and find all the bosses in the game bearing down on you to murder you in nasty ways. So yeah, that's pretty weird. Gonna talk a bit more about Crypt Killer after the break, but I'm gonna play a bit of music now. So... So from Crypt Killer, this is another one I couldn't find proper metadata for it. So I've just got a track that's labelled H28, so I've no idea where it's from, but it's from Crypt Killer. Electric Boogaloo is saying the arcade version of Crypt Killer runs on PlayStation-based hardware. Superbike's saying I need my Dreamcast to work again. Yeah, there's something slightly wrong with the controller board on our Dreamcast. I think it just needs a clean. OK. Okay, so let's have some more music, and I will speak to you guys again after the break, where I'll finish talking about Crypt Killer, and we'll have a bit more of a chat about stuff, light gun games and so on. Okay. So here is Crypt Killer H28, and requested by Superbike, we've got House of the Dead 2 Magician Fight. So, hope you enjoy those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break. We are back, and that was House of the Dead 2 Magician Fight, requested by Superbike. And before that, it was Crypt Killer H28. No idea what stage that's from, but there we go. Right, so on the Crypt Killer endings, there's another couple of endings to cover, and one of those is the legendary ending, which sees your player finding a legendary sword and activating its power. The blade is then wreathed in flame, and a clouded sky clears up in celebration of your newly found power. The final ending is easily the weirdest one, and is referred to as the behind-the-scenes ending. You find yourself on a movie set where the various monsters and enemies you've been fighting were in fact people in costume. And the scene ends with the cast taking a group photo. What? Alright then. I suppose it's no weirder than some of the Silent Hill endings, where there's like a dog responsible for everything. Ho-hum. One of the strangest things about this game is what it's called in Japan. And I cannot find any explanation for why this is the case, but the Japanese name for Crypt Killer is Henry Explorers. Yeah, I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. Superbike was saying that there's a thing called the Sinden Light Gun, which was on Kickstarter. The organizer apparently originally wanted 25,000 in pledges and ended up getting just under 250,000. Wow. That's in pounds, by the way. Yeah, you make the thing that people want, then people will throw money at you. Electric Boogaloo is also posting about something called Ultra Core. It's a cancelled DICE game, D-I-C-E, which was finally released on the console it was originally intended for when it was first developed back in 1994, so the Mega Drive. And apparently the Mega Drive version of it, the 50Hz Mega Drive version, is now sold out, apparently. It's a cancelled DICE Mega Drive game that was a pack-in with the Analog's Mega SG. It's coming out on modern platforms soon. That's interesting. And it apparently had a limited run for the real Genesis/Mega Drive cartridges, which is now sold out. That is a bit of a shame. I mean, but then limited run games like that usually sell out pretty quickly because hardcore people will just want it right now. Okay. Superbike saying, "Oh, why didn't I know about this before?" Yeah, it seems to always be that way. As soon as I find out about stuff like this, it's already gone. I did see that thing recently about the thing that was like a Mega CD device that fits into a Mega Drive and emulates the Mega CD, but it's like a cartridge. It's very expensive, but it's very cool. But then is it less expensive than buying an actual Mega CD? Especially considering that Mega CDs usually need quite a lot of maintenance, especially in Model 1s, because they were awful build quality. Okay. Let's have some more music, shall we? So, from Snatcher, the Mega CD version, speaking of Mega CD, One Night in Neo Kobe City, and from House of the Dead 4, at the end of the fighters. At the end of the fight, which is a bonus track from House of the Dead 4. Because I cannot write things. So enjoy those, and after the break, we'll have Chiptune Corner. Speak to you guys then. And we are back. When my mouse behaves itself. Bad mouse. So that was House of the Dead 4 at the end of the fight. And before that, it was Snatcher One Night in Neo Kobe City. So, yeah, the chat's all talking about various games that you, like, modern games that have been made recently that you can get for the Mega Drive or Genesis for our American friends. Tanglewood is one of them. That came out, I think, a couple of years ago. You can get it on modern platforms. But you can also get it for the Mega Drive. And it was created by a guy who lives in the same city as me. So I really ought to get a copy of it at some point. The Video Games Museum, which is in Sheffield, where I just moved from Nottingham fairly recently, they've got a copy, an actual cartridge copy of Tanglewood on a Mega Drive, which is really very cool. So yeah, there were a limited run of actual cartridges, but yeah, you can get an EverDrive and run it on actual Mega Drive hardware. So, Acecraft, I wonder if the new FPGA Mega CD thing would work with the Mega SG. Apparently it does, Electric Boogaloo's saying. That is interesting. Although I'm more interested to find out if it's substantially cheaper than getting a Mega CD 2. Because I've got a Mega Drive 2. The advantage of that is that the Mega CD 2 is slightly more reliable than the original version. Slightly. Very slightly. But yeah, let's move on to Chipchin Corner now. So, some of you may know that myself, my husband Greyfall, Superbike, and Jamie Wonderman went to Jamie's hometown of Hull to attend a concert called the 8-Bit Symphony. This was a project that was created by Rob Hubbard, who was a very popular and well-respected composer of the Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum, Amstrad era. And he and several other musicians got together to create a symphonic version of some famous popular 8-bit themes for a philharmonic orchestra. So we went to this concert, and there was this incredible concert that was done by the whole Philharmonic. There was all sorts of amazing things. There was a big display that had like old computers on it. Lots and lots of people in incredibly geeky t-shirts. There were lots of Commodore t-shirts and all this sort of stuff. It was absolutely brilliant. There was a very moving tribute to Ben Dalglish, who sadly died last year. The entire thing was amazing. You can find... there is some concert footage, I think, on YouTube. But the thing was amazing. And I picked up a CD while I was there, which went by the title of Progressive 64 from Fastloaders. And because of Chiptune Corner, I wanted to share one of the tracks with you. And that is actually the first track on here, because I absolutely love the Ocean Loader music. So this is a remix of Ocean Loader 2, done with this kind of amazing rock sound. Absolutely brilliant. I hope you enjoy it. So here is Ocean Loader 2 from the Progressive 64 album. And enjoy that, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break. We'll be right back. And we are back. And that was Ocean Loader 2 from Progressive 64. That album can be downloaded in digital version from c64audio.com. I think you have to pay for most of their albums, but they've got some amazing stuff in there. I will drop a link in the chat once I find it. I can type. There we are. So I'll drop a link for that in the Discord chat. There you go. I recommend checking that out. Also check out RKO Remix, because they do some amazing remixes of Commodore 64 and Amiga music. So yeah, that absolutely brilliant version of Ocean Loader 2. But yeah, I would recommend checking out the video that Superbike put in the chat as well, because the 8-bit symphony was absolutely incredible. Okay! So, that's it for today's show. If you have an idea for another topic that you want me to cover here on Hidden Palace, please get in touch. You can reach me through the Discord chat, where I'm SkyBlaze42. You can contact me through Twitter, where I'm at BlazingSkies. Or you can contact me through the Radio Sega Twitter or Facebook pages. I've been SkyBlaze. This has been the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Thanks to everybody who's been in the chat: Electric Boogaloo, Superbike, Mr. Jamie Wonderman, Brit Gamer. I think Serga was here earlier. Ace Croft, and anybody else who has contributed and commented. Who was what was his name on the Twitter? Melton the Gamer. Thank you so much for your comment there. Thanks again for listening. One track, last track to go out on. This is in celebration of the birthday of our beloved Blue Hedgehog, Sonic. And I've not really talked about this because everybody else has kind of done it already. But yeah, one last track from Sonic. From our friends over at OC Remix, we've got the Twinkle Park Classic. I am going to be back on Saturday next week, so I will in fact be at my normal time and normal day, Saturday 9 p.m. So, hope to see all of you there. Take care everybody, and good night.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.